Before we begin, Simon and I would like to acknowledge that we're recording this podcast on the unceded land of the Kulin Nations. I'm recording from my house on Bunurong Country, and Simon's recording from hers on Wurundjeri Country. We'd also like to acknowledge that we met and grew up together on the land of the Yugambeh people, and acknowledge and pay our respects to elders past and present.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Ryan Hamilton.
And I'm Simran Pasrija.
And this is the podcast for Burnt Out Divas.
Trying to stay
Broadly Relevant.
I love how we just both said it.
I love how we started this year being like, we're going to be really intense and always meet up in person to record. And this is what, the second time that we're doing it online?
Okay, you just wanted to say that so you could drag me because I'm always the person who needs to do it online, okay?
No, and okay. It's so fine. I just miss seeing you in person, Simran.
Well, hopefully this blows up and then, like, this can be our full-time gig, you know?
Working on that.
This is on you. This is on you, listeners.
Broadly culture.
Lots happening in culture this week, but I feel, Ryan, that you are especially passionate about yours. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm deeply passionate about this. And okay. I posted a take online yesterday, which went, like, not viral, but, like, I got, like, 50 replies from strangers on Threads. And I was like, excuse me? What's going on Threads?
Let's get into it because I disagree with your take and I want to talk about it.
Okay, so what I specifically want to talk about is Timothée Chalamet's comments on ballet and opera. He was recently being interviewed. He was chatting to Matthew McConaughey at the University of Texas. And he said offhandedly, I don't want to be working in ballet or opera or things where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive, even though, like, no one cares about this anymore. All respects to all the ballet and opera people out there, he quickly added. And it's just caused this massive furor on the internet, which has been, like, I've enjoyed the gossip and the drama about it. It's been really interesting seeing, like, all the major opera companies of the world really take this moment of them being in people's public consciousness and, like, posting so much organic content about it. And I'm like, respect to every social media manager working in opera at the moment. But I'm just pissed at it. So, not that pissed, but, like, mildly pissed. And it's kind of like my take on heated rivalry, which we're not going to get into right now. But it's okay. That...
it's which that we also I feel disagree like, on.
I feel like everyone has this take, has takes and has opinions about Timothy saying this. And I'm like, but you don't even go to the opera yourself. How dare you have a take? Because there's a lot of people shitting on him, being like, he can't say that about ballet and opera. And I'm like, you don't buy tickets to ballet and opera. You're the problem that he's referencing. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yes, I know what you mean. But I think the issue I had with your take is that I think both ballet and opera are incredibly inaccessible art forms. Like, at the price point that they're at and, like, the social, like the people that, like, go in general, you know, like, which has to do with, like, the price point. Yeah. You know, so it's
no,
like,
and completely agree.
So, like, why are we blaming?
I don't think I'm pissed at Timothy that much. I mean, like, okay. I think he said it very insensitively. And I think he's like, I think he's an asshole broadly now, but I'm not pissed so much at him making the comment. If anything, it's a net positive for ballet and opera because, like, you know, the social media buzz.
So true.
But what I am pissed at is everyone defending ballet and opera being like, no, ballet matters. And I'm like, does it? When did you last buy a ticket? And my hunch is that most people criticizing Timothy don't actually engage in these arts, but it's just this, like, backlash, like, knee-jerk reaction. And basically what I'm saying is I think most of the people shitting on him aren't actually the cultural citizens that they want and think they are. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you, but I think that you're stopping at that spot. You need to take it one step further and to say why they aren't those cultural citizens.
No, and, like, what's and they're not those cultural citizens because it's unaffordable. And because nobody cares to fix it. So maybe what I'm saying is Timothy is right, and I'm annoyed at everyone criticizing him because they're not taking it to the next step. You know what I mean?
Okay.
hang on. Let me see if I agree with what I just said.
Okay.
I think he's delivered it in an asshole way, but he's right that nobody cares about these art forms. You know what I mean? But that's the problem. The problem is nobody cares. And everyone's just being like, no, he's wrong. People do care. And I'm like, no, people don't. That's the problem.
No, I agree. I think he wasn't off about the fact that people don't actually care. And like, or that only certain people are allowed to care. And I feel like... which is so annoying because he had this opportunity to say all of this, that like movies are a more accessible art form, you know? And so like it's, but he centered himself in it because he like wanted to like remain relevant essentially to like, he wants to like remain relevant in this art form that won't be dying off. That's like how he framed this whole thing. And it's not the first time he's done this. He brought this up like years ago on the Graham Norton show as well. That clip has been going around. Yeah. And so I was hoping that he'd learn from that first one, but it's like, why would you say that?
Can I bring up another thing?
Yeah.
I do. Okay. Like let's pretend like, so obviously like Timothy said these things and we've rationalized it as being like, he's not technically wrong, you know, but what if he's just saying it because of internalized misogyny, because his mom and sister are ballet dancers and he just fucking hates them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's crazy. I don't.
Yeah.
Is misogyny internalized if you're a man?
I think it lives inside you, but I think maybe we don't call it internalized. You're right. Unless Timothy's a doll.
So true. You know, who knows? But yeah, okay. So yeah, that's like a really good point. I didn't realize that his mom and sister were ballet dancers, which is so crazy to say that, so out of pocket. Everyone is like mourning, mourning is so intense, but mourning like the old Timothy who was like, you know, quiet.
French.
And French and was in Little Women and, you know, was friends with Saoirse from Little Women. Forgot her last name. Sorry. But, you know, everyone's mourning that man. But
Saoirse Ronan.
I think at the end of... Saoirse Ronan. Wow, I can't believe that I forgot her name. I had Ronan in my head, but then I was doubting myself. And that's on men, you know? But like, I think the moral of the story here is that men will always disappoint you and you shouldn't be shocked every time that they do, you know? Like, this is a straight man is still a straight man at the end of the day. And we need to stop building these people up. More so like on celebrities, but like men specifically.
But also, we should fund the arts.
Also that, and we should make it accessible. Yes. Moral of the story, everything is political, including Timothy Chalamet's comments.
Timolay Shalamopra.
Timolay Tim Tam. Okay, moving on. Okay, so I want to talk about something that's a bit crazy for me to bring up because I spoke about this with some other people and they were like, we're not talking about it because it's a bit like touchy because it's part of the Australian podcast like industry. Like,
is this the festival?
No, I'm excited for the festival.
Oh, okay.
I actually have no like knowledge about the festival, but excited for that. Anyways, like in-depth knowledge about it. But anyways, I'm talking about the Stylish podcast drama. Have you heard anything about this? I feel like
absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I knew this would be so not on your For You page. But Stylish podcast is under the Shameless Media organization. It's obviously their like style and fashion podcast. It's hosted by three different women. They usually like talk about different like trends online and like react to like a lot of like clips and like off of TikTok. And what this past week they reacted to a TikTok by the creator Tamsin. Her name is Tamsin Wong. She's awesome. I've been following her for a while, but she posted this on her burner account, which like has like 14k sort of followers. Her main account has 600. Yeah.
Are we calling Finsta's burner accounts now?
Oh, I don't know. I like it though. But it's on TikTok. So that's I can't call that a Finsta.
A Finsta. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna think, you know, on that. Yeah.
I think she calls it her spam account.
Yep.
Yeah. But you know, to each their own, I guess. Anyways, Tamsin posted this video a little bit ago and she was talking about developing good taste. And she was like, basically that nobody has like good taste, or it's really hard to develop your own sense of good taste because the internet and social media has become digital, you know, like it's just, it feeds you like micro trends and aesthetics and like ways of looking and living, right? And so one of the quotes like from her TikTok goes, developing good taste requires curiosity, it requires friction, it requires longevity and practice. Whether you love me or hate me, both my supporters and my haters alike will never say that I have bad taste. And she goes on to say, the thing is, so much of developing good taste comes from friction and experience. And if you are terrified to trying new things or experiencing said friction because you know it's going to be put on the internet and you'll be ridiculed, of course you'll just go in line and only wear what you think is acceptable, dictated by algorithms and what you've seen on the internet. And she goes on, she's like, you know, you need to like go to these like museums and like see the art and like experience the world and, you know, go out there essentially because, you know, it takes work to like develop this sort of taste and to develop that knowledge. The Stylish Girls get a hold of this clip and they are like livid, to be honest, about this take. Yeah, very surprisingly. They were basically, they came in quite hot and I think were quite like, in my opinion, quite like personally offended by it. They were like, you know, like this is such a pretentious like take. Like she just needs to like touch grass and like I have had enough friction in my life. One of the host said, I'm like a, you know, I'm a 30-year-old single woman that has a golden retriever. I have enough friction in my life. And I was like, that is such a random, that is so random to say. But okay, anyways, but that was
retriever.
Like, yeah, I'm like, not the stray on the golden retriever.
But also like, is that really the hippest like dog breed, you know?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, so that was like the whole situation. There was a lot of say, and people in the comments were like, this is such a random and weird take. Like I feel, although I don't really listen to Shameless or Stylish very often anymore, I don't like disagree with a lot of their takes and they're pretty like on the mark usually. But this time around, it was totally off and Tamsin caught wind of this and she then responded to the podcast and to the video. She didn't know who Stylish were, but like people were like tagging her in the comments of the video, you know?
Love that.
Totally. She basically said, she was like, she understands, but like if you come at somebody swinging, you're going to have to expect to catch some fists. But she said, like, so she was like, I understand that on the internet, you should be able to like take back, like you should expect critique if you're going to like say a take. But she wasn't directing it at these people. And one of the things that the Stylish Girl said was also like that it's a very like first world issue, like first world problem, which didn't sit well with a lot of people because it's literally a style podcast. So, she said, so for a podcast that talks about fashion, style, lifestyle, taste, it's literally their job, their point to discuss this in detail with nuance and with interesting takes. For them to respond to my video just by saying, she sounds so pretentious, she needs to go out and touch grass, I will get on my hands and knees so that I can help her on my high horse. Like, that's the first world, like, you know, she knows, like, Tamsin's like, I know it's a first world problem. Like, I'm aware of it's like that fact, but like, you are also talking about first world problems. I know there's a lot of lore to this, but I need
no.
to, like,
I'm hooked.
Right? Okay. So then, so she made this video. The girls are like really, you know, like copping a lot of heat. The Stylish Girls are copping a lot of heat. They,
of course,
delete the video on TikTok. On Instagram, it's still up, like the clip of the podcast. And Tamsin mentions this in her video that it was like kind of weird that they deleted the clip. Like if you're going to stand in it, you know. Anyways, I delete the podcast. We don't hear anything about them. On Sunday, I was like with friends and I like saw that the like a podcast had dropped and it was like unpacking the feedback. so they had come in on a like on the weekend to like respond to this situation. Very, you know, very quick. It was like a 16-minute podcast episode on Stylish. When the episode opened, it was with Michelle and Zara, who are the co-founders of Shameless. So like Mummy and Daddy came into the podcast with the three hosts as well to talk about, you know, everything going on essentially. And I was like, whoa, I think it's really good that they came because like at the end of the day, it's like their business and like they take on, like it's essentially everything is like their responsibility under this. So like, I think it's good that they came on to support their hosts. Ultimately, the unpacking the feedback was that they don't they stand by their opinion, but they don't like how they came across as aggressive and are working on their tone. They also said that they didn't realize how much power and influence they had as the podcast. And I was like, I feel like that's not the point. I feel like you've missed
Fuck
the point on that
off.
One.
Fuck like you missed off. The point on that. You but don't I get think, to just play ignorant. Like, I'm sorry. I'm literally looking at your fucking like website and you're like, look at how many listeners we have, you know, 2 million downloads. Like, you don't get to pretend.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, I understand. I was like, also, that's just like not the point of this whole conversation, you know, like that's actually just not how the internet works. And like, they should know that this is how the internet works, is that like someone with like no followers can also be picked up into a conversation by a million people. But anyways, I more so wanted to talk about how we talk about like taste and like how we are developing taste. And I feel like that's a big conversation that's come up. And I have another point that I'd like to bring up later on about this whole situation.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go on.
I've just looked up the podcast episode you're talking about, and let me tell you, someone forgot to write their podcast episode notes.
Why? What happened? Is there just nothing in there?
It's literally completely blank, and I'm just like, that's so funny. Like, no, but I'm also just like, is it? Or do we think they were just like really stressed?
It was on the weekend. You know what was so funny? One of the things that they said was like, so the three podcast hosts are contractors, so like they're not. They don't work like full time under Shameless. And like there's a social media team that clips up their like clips, and that's kind of like how, and they don't see which clips go up. And they were like, well, I think we need to like work on like how that like workflow, you know, goes. And I think someone working in media appreciates that. But they said, they were like, we're not like deleting comments. Like that was something that was floating around, but we've asked all of our people that work under our team. And like, they said that they haven't deleted comments. And I thought that was so funny, because if my boss pulled me up and was like, have you deleted comments? I'd be like, no, I'd just lie. I would lie through my teeth. I would. But anyways, that was just a little hee hee ha ha. But essentially, Stylish team were like, you can develop taste from anywhere. If I want to buy something on an Instagram ad, like I should be allowed to do that. And then Tamsin is saying that you need to be going out and like taking yourself away from social media to develop taste. Where do you land on that? And how do you think that you've developed taste?
Sorry, buying shit from an Instagram ad and calling that developing taste is crazy.
I think there was maybe more to it, but maybe not also. Yeah.
No, but like, I think Tamsin, I don't know who Tamsin is, but Tamsin, I stand with Tamsin. like, you have to, like, go out. Like, the people who are finding the new things aren't finding them because they popped up on the algorithm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're finding them because they're looking for things and they're listening for things and they're paying attention to people and, like, remembering things and, like, like doing the cataloging and the thinking about the sort of the scene that they're in. You know what I mean? Like, I just, yeah, social media is a blight on our society, and to pretend that what pops up on your feed is taste and your curation. First of all, it's not even your curation. It's algorithmic curation.
That was a big missing part of the conversation that would have been really interesting, is that it's actually not your curation. Like, it's literally like it's like big tech curation, you know? So it can't possibly be taste, if that makes sense, you know?
No, and it's like, you know, we know the signals that determine like what breaks through on the algorithm, and it's, you know, it's novelty and it's engagement, and it's like, it's easy enough to hack that. And if you are creating something genuinely new that maybe is novel, but not in a way that does well on social media and that, you know, doesn't make people angry, like, it's not going to break through on social media. I don't know.
Yeah, I will say that, like, looking through seeing all of this play out, I think it clocked me. Like, I was like, oh, I think that I rely too much on the internet to form my opinions. And I feel like I've been getting better at, if I want to look at style, like, specifically, and like moving away from the internet to like create my style, because I think I used to think that I was like, oh, I need to like dress this certain way, or like I felt like I was dressing too old and I was like, oh, I need to be younger. And I was like, actually, I don't like a crop top. I need to like stop buying those. You know what I mean? Like, so I always like thought that I had to like feed into the trends, but actually now I feel like I'm actively working on stepping away from that. But I do think that this has made me think about how I curate my opinions and like speak about things and even like go about this podcast. Like I am like in thought daughter, like THOUGHT, like sides of the internet, you know, trying to create like things. And it's Ryan and I were supposed to start the Artist Way together and like do morning pages where you do like stream of consciousness every morning. And I think that would be so helpful for me because I don't think that I have created he's like holding up the book now. I think it would be create like important for me because I don't think that I really have very many original opinions these days.
Whoa, yeah. That is a bombshell revelation that you just dropped.
You sound so sarcastic, like that's what you've been thinking this entire time.
It's not.
So you hate it's me. Not. So you think I'm right. So you think I'm stupid. You
know? I think that's a, like, I haven't thought about if I think that's true for you or not. And I will, but I think it is marvelous that you've had that thought. Like, that's some crazy introspection. Like, whoa.
You know?
Like, that's an original thought.
And it's not that I, like, wanted to really it's not that I'm going to be, like, offline forever and, like, feel bad about being online because I don't think that's – I also don't like that rhetoric that, like, I should feel bad for, like, scrolling for, like, hours, whatever, you know? Like, I don't feel good about that rhetoric either. But I think maybe I've been, like, looking at different videos and then actively being, like, what do I actually think about that, you know? And Austin, my housemate, does like a really good thing where like he'll go to a concert and he'll write in his like notes app or like his Notion and literally list down like the things that he liked and why he liked them after a concert. Like I never do that like in a way to like record it, you know, like just for myself and to like unpack it in that way. And I think that's so intentional. So I'd like to do more of that. I think that's something that like clocked me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like part of why I love theater criticism as like a, I mean, this is going to be me wanky talking about being an artist, which is not really what I talk about here. But like,
you just before.
No, okay.
You're just before being like, you uncultured swine that don't go to the opera.
If you don't go to the opera, you can't make a comment. Because like, so I had a teacher in high school who said to me that if you want to make theater, you need to see theater, right? Which like, genuinely one of the most impactful pieces of advice I've ever received in my life. Because then I was like, okay, my life's mission is to make theater. Therefore, my life's mission is to see theater as well, you know, like, because I want to participate in this thing, this exchange of meaning through performance. So obviously I started seeing a lot of shows and that's why I started doing like the theater criticism and honestly try and get more comps because theater is so expensive and inaccessible. But then like suddenly I was like having to write down my feelings about these shows. And oftentimes like I just wouldn't, like sometimes you don't care about a show, but then you're like, I have to write something about it, you know? And like that exercise of like sitting down and breaking apart, this part didn't work for me because of this. And I mean, this part I liked, but it failed in this way. And having to like intellectualize your responses to something rather than just saying, it wasn't for me. Oh my God, the way like suddenly you start watching things with a really like active lens and like it unlocks something in your brain, I truly think, doing criticism, like any, even if it's just with your friends. Like that's why a book club is so cool, you know?
And then it's that,
And then it's that thing of like, I now know how to like explain what I like and what I think works and what it doesn't. And so like that stuff that I can take straight back into my practice. Because I've seen it work. I've seen it fail or I've seen it succeed. And I don't know. It's just like we need to talk about things more. Do you know what I mean? And like think.
I think it's a real privilege to experience these things. So I think that we should use every part of that privilege, you know, like and really honor that privilege by thinking about it in these ways. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I, now that you brought up like going to all of these places and like critiquing it and like getting the comps of it, one of the things that's come out of this Stylish and Tamsin situation is this TikToker, Kate Foster, I think is how you pronounce her last name. Forster. Oh, you love her. I love her too.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know Kate Forster because I'm friends with her daughter.
Yeah, that's so fun.
We're mutuals on TikTok. We like DM sometimes.
Wow, that's so exciting. I really like her takes. I really don't worry, it's a good thing.
Did you see the TikTok she posted today?
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about you can't critique a system you're trying to climb.
I commented on that TikTok.
No way. wait, let me go find your comment. Oh, yeah, you said, yes, low-key grappling with how to deal with this in theater, because, like, how the hell do you actually do criticism while trying to build a career in the sector? It's messy. And I agree. I found that really interesting because of the stylish girls who, like, are in this sector. Like, I've been around them, like, in different, like, events and things like that. And honestly, I was kind of, like, nervous about talking about this because I've been around, like, the Shameless founders as well in, and, like, we're part of the same industry. So, like, but I think she's got a point that I don't think that you have to pick and choose and stay true to your, like, mission and to your craft or art or, like, whatever goal that you have, as opposed to, like, you know, climbing the capitalist ladder, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think, because to talk about my critical practice again, I think part of why I'm a better comedy critic than I am a theater critic, even though I know comedy less well than I know theater, is because in theater, in comedy, I don't make comedy. I'm not trying to make it in comedy. I'm not trying to build connections with it. Like, whatever. I don't care about comedy. I love it and I want to see it, but I don't care. Theater, it's like that thing of like, okay, but if I piss off this producer, what if I actually want to pitch a work to them? What happens usually, and I don't know how I feel about it, but I'll say it, is that oftentimes in theater, when I feel really conflicted about a work, I will tend not to say something, which is not productive and not good, but I'm trying to work through that. Whereas with comedy, I'll just put out a bad review. Interesting.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Lots to talk about, lots to think about.
You're like, I'm done.
I'm done now. I have nothing more to say. I'm tired of this topic.
Broadly News.
Hey, crazy time in the news at the moment.
Crazy time indeed. I think that we should start with something kind of good, I guess. Like, I don't know if it's... I don't know how to... I think it is good. I don't know. Ryan's giving me a look. I don't know.
Go on.
Okay, so this morning... the Home Affairs Minister, Tony Burke, confirmed that 5 members of Iran's national women's football team have been granted humanitarian visas in Australia. And this follows reports that the group sought asylum because of safety concerns. And this all stemmed from this past week. They played in the AFC Women's Asian Cup in the Gold Coast, randomly, where we were from. Yeah. And in a... in a match against South Korea, they, you know, they sing the national anthem for each team before the game starts. And the Iranian women's team decided not to sing along with the national anthem. And this was viewed as a way of protest. And then things really escalated from there and people started becoming quite worried for their safety for going back to Iran after the tournament. So the way that we found out this news was very interesting. Okay. So the first thing that happened was Donald Trump posted on Truth Social, which I didn't realize is his, like, it's under, it's his, like, platform. I thought it was just a random, like, right-wing platform, but it's owned by Trump Media and Technology Group, which is largely funded by Trump. Is that, are you like saying that, like, why am I so dumb and I didn't
know
that?
He founded it. Because he got kicked off Twitter.
Oh, I'm so dumb and I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
That's why he's on it, because he got banned from Twitter before.
I knew that he got banned from Twitter, but I just thought that he, like, found this other rich right-wing guy. I'm sure there's, like, many of them, no?
Like, he didn't make it, but, like, it's his.
Anyways, he said... Okay, support women's wrongs, too. Okay, like, I'm working on having an opinion, and apparently that was the wrong one. Okay? Anyways, he said that he spoke to Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, of Australia concerning the Iranian national women's soccer team, and he's on it. I love the way that he writes these things. It feels like ChatGPT. Anyways, 5 have already been taken care of and the rest are on their way. Some, however, feel they must go back because they are worried about the safety of their families, including threats to those family members if they don't return. In any event, the Prime Minister is doing a very good job having to do with this rather delicate situation. God bless Australia. President Donald J. Trump. He always signs off his things as President Donald J. Trump. Random. Like, there's no, like, username attached to it. Anyways, and he doesn't own the damn thing. Like, obviously it's him. And everyone knows that he owns it. So, like, what the hell, you know? Anyways, so that was, like, the first, you know, post that went out that we were like, oh, okay, so maybe they've been granted these humanitarian visas, but you can't trust everything that Donald Trump says, so who knows, you know? But then in the morning time, Burke, he confirmed that there was a call between Trump and Albanese, and this was like just before 2 a.m. and then they like passed like the visas and they signed it up. So basically, and then there was like a big petition and they now have these humanitarian visas. And Tony Burke said, I don't want to begin to imagine how difficult that decision is for each of the individual women, but certainly last night it was joy, it was relief, and people were very excited about embarking on their life in Australia. Now, this is, I think, like, good for these women, that if they wanted the humanitarian visas, they were granted them, right? So I think this is good for those women. From this, I also took that Trump and Albanese had a phone call, right? They discussed other things on that phone call, because other news that has come out from today is that Australia is now entering the war with Iran, essentially. Which we said that we weren't going to do. And now here we are doing that, because Australia is sending missiles and defense support to the UAE amid the Iran war. So what are the Australians doing? The government is sending a surveillance plane and air-to-air missiles. So this obviously came after the phone call, and it also came after, sorry, this phone call has really got me stressing, but the way that the Australians have like framed this is that it's about the number of Australians in the region in UAE, because as we know, the US and Israel striked Iran first, and in counter strikes, Iran then striked several Gulf states, including, you know, in the UAE and like Dubai and Bahrain and Kuwait.
Because those states have US military bases.
Yes, exactly. And so Albanese is saying that he's sending over these missiles and surveillance aircraft as defensive military assistance. He says, the first priority of my government is and always will be to keep Australians safe. There are around 115,000 Australians in the Middle East. Around 24,000 of those are in the UAE. And he says, helping Australians means helping the UAE and other nations to defend themselves. We are not protagonists. What we are doing is providing for the defense of the UAE and of Australian citizens. And he says that the involvement is purely defensive. I don't know how purely defensive this is. I really don't know why we're getting involved, to be honest, and like why we're sending personnel, because it's like one step, right? And I feel like the fact that the initial rhetoric was that we're not getting involved in this, like we support the US, but we're not getting involved in this. And it's like a week later, that's already gone out the window. Like, what's happening next week, you know?
Well, the thing is, Simran, you take one step and then you take another step and suddenly you're walking.
That's what they say. That's the rumor. You're so right. But I found this very interesting, actually, more so on how this links to your news story of the day.
Well, what's his name? Fucking Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke seems to be a bit of a recurring character today.
He's around.
Maybe I'll tell my story and then we can talk. But basically, the Assistant Minister for Citizenship, Julian Hill, went to Parliament today with some proposed new laws which would give the Home Affairs Minister the ability to ban certain visitors from certain overseas countries from visiting Australia for up to 6 months, that's the whole law that they're proposing, which is apparently being put in the context of concern over that people might overstay their visas because of war. And I don't know if you've heard of a thing called asylum seeking, but that's, in fact, a legal thing to do.
Yeah, I find the timing very interesting.
Because literally on the ABC site I'm looking at right now, it's like, photo on the side of Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke with the soccer players, and then you scroll up and it's Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke wanting to ban basically asylum seeking, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool, yeah, that's really cool.
I think this is like one of those. Sorry, you go.
It's worth it. So Julian Hill, who is the guy, like the diva who actually like put the things to Parliament, basically said the current situation in the Middle East demonstrates how quickly circumstances can change that may impact whether those temporary visa holders could fulfill that temporary purpose in Australia, including whether they would leave Australia should they travel here. Which I'm like, that is like so euphemistic for these people might be afraid of going back home and dying. And I'm like, maybe we owe it to every human their life. Okay. I don't know. Is that crazy? The Liberals are like broadly, or the coalition is broadly supportive as well. They came out, they were like, yeah, sounds like a great plan. So who knows, that might pass. The Greens are obviously against it. I say obviously. I'm going to remove my commentary there. It is interesting to note that the government hasn't named which countries would be named under the law. So it just gives the Home Affairs Minister the ability to name certain countries for like up to 6 months. It wouldn't impact anyone who is already in Australia before the determination gets made. And those who already have refugee or humanitarian visas would still be allowed to travel to Australia. But like broadly, what a fucked up fucking putrid fucking law. And look, I hope to God the Home Affairs Department never comes to us asking for partnership, because fuck you.
We'll show them.
Like, I just, it's so fucked that one, that literally on the day you're like, let's go to war. You're like, and also let's not have asylum seekers. Like, oh my God, why are everyone in power, like in the world, so fucking committed to killing people? Like, what if we didn't, guys?
This is a clear example of how our government is very, very manipulative and very calculated with how they go about their decision making. And I think announcing, you know, like the accepting like the asylum seekers from the football team and announcing like how we're entering war and then announcing like, and you know, trying to like bury in, because I didn't know about this till you brought this out up to me, like with this like proposed law. And I think that is so calculated and so sneaky and so shady that I'm glad that we're aware of it. So like, I guess like read the news is my moral of the story. But damn, like these people are so calculated with how they've like set this all up.
But also like so fucked how like the, there had been calls to grant asylum to the soccer players before Trump intervened.
Yeah.
And why did it take Donald Trump intervening? You know what I mean? Crazy.
I don't know if it actually did, because I can't imagine that, that like, you know, from like 1:30 and then 2 a.m. they signed it. Like, that's like not how, like, you know, things take longer to work.
Nuance.
I think, but I think like processes take a while, but like, but I think that, but I like the chutzpah that you had there.
Oh, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say, but I'm just like, why is this the world that we live in? But I've just remembered another news story, which I want to bitch about.
Okay.
You know what happened on Monday, right?
What happened on Monday?
The second part of the age verification laws went into force in Australia. And yeah, now Australians cannot access pornography online without verifying age or ID, which, you know, usually involves like a facial scan or driver's license. And so TMI, when I logged onto Twitter yesterday, Twitter was like, let's take a photo of you. And I was like, how about we don't? And I don't know if you visited Pornhub in the past 24 hours, Simran. I don't know if you visited Pornhub in the more than the past 24 hours, but it used to be like you'd scroll and there were like ads in between the videos.
Right.
If you go today, it's just the ads because the videos are gone.
Interesting.
It was crazy. Look at, there's like, you can't even access Pornhub. Like, there's no way to verify on Pornhub. It is just the ads. It's crazy.
Okay, here's my take on that. Obviously, purity culture is everywhere.
That's the nuance. Yep, great, done.
Bad and boo. My other take is, I think specifically on the site Pornhub, I don't hate that people are like not getting on there because it's so unregulated and a lot of people are like You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Of all the apps, like of all the websites.
And I hear what you're saying. Pornhub was one of the more regulated sites.
Oh, okay.
And now where Pornhub famously had about half their content deleted about 2-3 years ago because there was so much, you know, abuse material on the site, and they made it so that if you wanted to upload content, you had to verify your ID. But now they're asking like viewers to verify their ID as well. Well, actually, sorry, they're not letting people watch it in Australia at all. Pornhub, because it was the biggest, was more regulated than others. And now they've just decided to pull out of the Australian market. And so what you are going to see is like a fracturing of the internet, and everyone's going to go to these smaller websites, which will be harder to clamp down on. And it's like, I don't know if that was the solve.
Yeah, well, that's the issue, right? Did you see that, like, there was, like, an influx of, like, VPNs? Because everyone was... Yeah, which makes sense. Checks out.
Like, you know, and it's, like, the way that these laws were implemented, where, like, it puts the complete onus on... I mean, first of all, I don't think they should have been implemented. I think purity culture is fucked. But, like, the way that they are implemented, that they, like, make companies do it themselves, is such a privacy risk, asking overseas companies to hold user identity data like that. Insane. It's a fucked thing if you do participate and like scan your ID and upload your ID to Substack like I've done now. But at the same time, because the government can't, you know, the way the internet is technically set up, unless you set up like an entire firewall like China does, you cannot keep people from going to other smaller websites. Mm-hmm. And so what you're going to do is just people going to like worse websites that are more unregulated and more dangerous. And it's just like, I don't know, this is bad.
No, this is bad. I don't think we have a solution per se. And I do think there is like merit in, you know, barring these sites from like 10-year-olds, you know, that sort of situation.
Sure.
But I don't know what the solution is, but this certainly isn't it.
No. Just crazy days in Australia right now. We're going to war and we ban pornography. Broadly Diva.
So, if you don't know what Broadly Diva is and you're joining us for the very first time, welcome. Every month, me and Ryan, fight to the death portraying a diva where we say, hey, this diva is the best diva to ever live. And then you guys get to vote and see who the best diva is. And at the end of the year, we'll crown like the bestest diva of them all. Last month's Broadly Diva, did I explain that well? That was fine. You get it. We vote, there are two divas, and then you vote, basically. Just vote. Anyways.
Get out the vote, guys.
Last month's divas were between Catherine O'Hara and Reality with Ali. Predictably, Catherine O'Hara won Diva of that month. And so she goes on to like this next round. So you'll get to vote between Catherine O'Hara and our two divas that we talk about today, basically, is how this is going to work. Ryan, do you want to go first of who your diva is?
Yeah, I'd like to go first.
Okay.
So this is a bit of a stupid diva. I don't know if you follow all the Apple releases.
You know that I don't.
Yeah, probably. So last week, or was it this week? No, it was mid last week. Apple released a new laptop, and like not like a new version of a MacBook Pro, like a new type of MacBook, which they haven't done since the 2015 release of the MacBook. And so this one is called the MacBook Neo, and it's basically like a really, really cheap MacBook. Like it's running an iPhone processor inside. Starts at $900 Australian.
I heard that. I did follow this one.
Which is kind of like, actually, that's crazy cheap for a full laptop. That's like cheaper than like a full iPad with keyboard. You know what I mean? Like that's actually crazy cheap. And like props to them for going after the education market and trying to defeat the Chromebooks. You know what I'm saying? Like that's work. But I specifically, my diva is the MacBook Neo in color citrus, because I think I go goo goo gaga for any tech product which is like that highlighter yellow color. I think it is putrid and beautiful. Apple came out with an iPod Touch in 2012, which was like the same color as the citrus. And it's like that yellowy, greeny, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, my least favorite color on God's earth, you know?
It's like Brat if it was more like highlighter and less green, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like teacher Brat. Like, yeah.
It's stunning. And I just like looking at that Mac, I'm like, I want it. Like, she's highlighter yellow. You know what I mean? That's my diva. The citrus MacBook Neo.
That's crazy. I hate that for you, but also I love that for you, I guess. But that's the thing about taste. You know what I mean? You have to like go out.
No, and I actually think citrus is coming in as a big color soon.
For wintertime. Yes. Yes. Okay. Totally. That wasn't as stupid as I thought it was going to be. You really.
It's a yellow laptop.
It's a Okay. My diva of the month is actually a callback to the start of this episode.
Okay.
To Tamsin. My diva is Tamsin. I think she's I think I'm gonna win. My diva is Tamsin Wong. I love this woman. I've been following her since 2020, actually. And she is, you know, this like London content creator, and she's just a super bougie woman, and she's never shied away from the fact that she is a bougie woman. She has her little pet, her little dog called Rhubarb, and I love her. And I think I really enjoy people who lean into their like bouginess without and understand how outrageous it is, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like she's clocking the fact that she lives in a world that this is like outrageous, but she leans into it, if that makes sense, and is aware.
That's camp.
I love a self-aware rich person, you know? There's not many of them. There's maybe like three that I can really think of. There's one that I thought was more self-aware. Like I thought Becca Bloom was super self-aware, and she like does these like luxury like lifestyle things, but actually no, she's not. And this woman is, and I love her. And she's really catapulted, like, you know, she loves film and TV, so now she does like film junkets and things like that. And I think she also could write a masterclass on how to react to internet drama. I think the way that she carried herself was very graceful and like respectful, because honestly, like if someone called me out for being like pretentious and for being like, you know, or like for just like being like wrong in a situation so publicly, I think my like fight or flight would like come in, and I would like flight, and or I would like be triggered back to like high school with these three girls like saying this thing to me. But she handled it so well.
Who are you talking about?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Okay.
But like in general, like girls, like mean girls, like, you know, ganging up on you.
Sure.
Yeah. But she didn't. And she was totally fine. And
are you talking about the Aths Carnival?
Oh my God. What are you talking about?
Okay. Back to what we're talking about.
Do you think that I was bullied at the Athletics Carnival?
No, but I remember you weren't told information at an Aths Carnival once.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah, totally. But then I knew the information and it was fine. And that was the start of me becoming a journalist, because I wanted to know everything.
Of course.
So bullying saves lives once again.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my diva for the month. So you can vote on this diva from going to our Substack and just subscribing. That's right.
So yeah, choose between Catherine O'Hara, the MacBook Neo in color citrus, and Tamsin.
Yes. And so yeah, you can go subscribe to our Substack on our Instagram or in our show notes, and then that'll take you to the voting spot. And then you can also subscribe to our newsletter, which, lucky you, am I right?
Shall we check out?
What's something that you know that the people in your life hate, but you love so much that you've bought for yourself?
I'm really loving, there's like a connoisseur ice cream that flavor that I love, which is matcha and white chocolate. For a supermarket ice cream, it's solid.
My tea is that when you gave that to me last week, I could not taste an ounce of matcha. It tasted like powdered milk and white chocolate. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good flavor, but would I say it's matcha? No, I wouldn't.
And what's your taste?
I like heated rivalry.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I knew that would get ya.
I don't want to be canceled, so I will not be discussing it.
One day I'll cancel ya. Thanks so much for listening. If you like the episode, tell a friend. Bye.